Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our friends from south of here. Glad to see y'all folks all here in this celebration season. To begin with, today I want to start with the book of Revelation, if you will turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. And there in the 19th chapter of Revelation, if you will, go down to verse 10. And this is John speaking, John having written Revelation, and here he is speaking to the angel that came unto him and gave him the information that was necessary for him to write. Beginning in verse 10, "And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he, that being the angel, said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." And that's going to be our subject this morning, Jesus, and in this case, the baby Jesus, is the spirit of prophecy. This being the time of year that we celebrate the advent of Christ into the world, even though we know that the birth was actually back in September the 29th, I want to address this subject because this baby Jesus is the great central point of all Scripture and God's purpose and plan for the ages. Everything that we know is centered around this baby Jesus that was born 2,000 years ago. The baby born in, and as Erica pointed out in our song last week, born in the manger, not a manger, but the manger, telling which manger it actually was. Everything is centered around him in Scripture, the first and second coming. And every prominent figure of the Old Testament prefigures Christ in some way. All typical events, all characters, all institutions, including the first man, Adam, the ark built by Noah, the Passover lamb, the temple and the tabernacle, the priesthoods, all kings, the flood, the Ark of the Covenant, the redemption from Egypt, the law, David's throne, and it goes on and on and on. All of these events but lead to one point described by God there in the book of Galatians. Back up in your book, in your Bible, if you will, to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. "When the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law." And so today we begin our celebration of this event, even though we know that the actual birth was September the 29th. We celebrate today this event. But a strange thing with regard to this in the scheme of things in Scripture, if you read the Old Testament, if you have no more than the Old Testament, there, if you look for the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not find him. He is invisible. If you then read the New Testament, suddenly you will find him everywhere in the Old Testament. Let me give you an example of this. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 26 of that 8th chapter. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem into Gaza, which is a desert. And he, Philip, rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot and read Isaiah the prophet. And then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, the eunuch said, How can I accept some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer. So opened he and not his mouth. And in his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And when shall declare his generations, for his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray of thee, whom speakest the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? And then Philip opened his mouth and began at this same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The question here is an explanation of what I'm speaking about, the Old Testament and what is there. If you read, you will not find Christ. You only begin to get these answers when you have the rest of the story. The reason that this eunuch could not comprehend what he was reading is because he did not have the whole story. He only had half of the story. You see, in the Old Testament is the New Testament contained. In the New Testament is the Old Testament explained. And what we read there in Revelation chapter 19, verse 10, all prophecy of the Old Testament concerns him. But all prophecy of the Old Testament cannot be understood until he, Christ, actually came on the scene. And all of a sudden, then this becomes clear. Let me give you a couple examples. Turn in your Bibles to the book of John. John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 46 of that. John chapter 5, verse 46. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. This is an instance where the things that Moses wrote are not that clear until you see the man that he wrote about in the New Testament. And it wasn't just Moses that wrote these things. Turn back to Luke chapter 24 of the book of Luke. Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 44. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. So what did the prophets, what were they writing about? Well, they were writing about Christ, but it was camouflaged. You didn't know the name Christ doesn't appear. they were very specific in what they wrote. They wrote these things 2,000 and 3,000 years before they actually occurred. And one of the signs of a real prophet is that he is always correct. He's never wrong. Prophet in God's sight is always perfect. So the prophets wrote that a Messiah would come. The nation of Israel, all they wanted was a king. They said, "Oh, give us a king like the nations around about, that'll suffice." And there in Samuel, that actually occurred. And they're still trying to recover from that today. But the prophets prophesied with regard to Messiah. They prophesied when he would come. If you've studied the 70 weeks of Daniel, you can even determine when that was through those 70 weeks prophesied in Daniel. They prophesied that he would be both man and God. They prophesied from whom he would descend, the lineage. And if you read then there in the New Testament, we have the lineage, both all the way from Adam and the lineage from Abraham as well. They prophesied that he was born, be born of a virgin. They prophesied where he was to be born, the Tower of Adar, the stable where the lambs were raised for the temple. They prophesied the city, Bethlehem. They prophesied that he himself would be a prophet. They prophesied that he would do great miracles. They prophesied that he would arrive in Jerusalem, not only on an ass, but on a colt. Can you imagine 1,000 years prior being able to give that accurate information? They sacrificed that he would be betrayed, that he would suffer pain and death, that he would be put on a stake, that he would be mocked and derided, that he would be given vinegar and gall. That small detail, perfect, 1,000, 2,000 years prior to the actual event. They prophesied that there would be lots cast for his garment. And I was thinking about that. I just saw the other day some of the prices that are paid for athlete shirts. $25,000 for some athlete's shirt that he wore in some game. But here back then, they were going to cast lots for his garments. They prophesied that no bones would be broken in his body, that he would die with malefactors. What are the chances of that? That he would rise from the dead. That's a biggie. How could you even dream of that? That he would change the law of Moses to a new law. That he would sacrifice himself. That he would be priest and king, not just king. That he would be a savior, a mediator, an intercessor. That he would be likened to a shepherd. All of these minute details that are given, 100, 200, 1,000, and 2,000 years in advance. Why? Why? What was the purpose behind that? Well, it was that it might be fulfilled. Because if you knew these things and somebody came along and fulfilled all of them, then you would know who was Messiah. Without any question. Over and over again, this is stated in Scripture, repeated again and again. Let me give you an example of that. Turn in to the book of Matthew, chapter 1. Matthew, chapter 1. I'm just going to give you some of the Scriptures. And by the way, all of those prophecy things, I didn't give you the Scriptures on them because it just take too long for us to go through and look those all up. Don't take my word for it. If you want to know the Scriptures, I'll give them to you. Matthew chapter 1. Verse 22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophets. Matthew 26. Chapter 26 in Matthew. 26, verse 56. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Matthew chapter 27, verse 9. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value. One other one is found there in verse 35 of that 27th chapter, verse 35. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets. The question is, tell me, how is it that with all of this information, Israel missed their Messiah? This is so specific as to who this person would be, and yet they missed their Messiah. Well, I'll tell you why. They did not know their own scripture. They were not familiar with what had been written by the prophets. They were fat and happy. There was peace in the land at that time. They were ignorant of these things that have been said of him. When this baby Jesus came there in the manger in the tower of the flock, the tower of Adar, they were unaware. They were in the process of what I call rote worship. Go to the temple, make an offering, feel good, musical programs, no doubt. When one of the things we talked about a couple weeks ago, inventions, all of these things were in the minds of the people. They did not know or understand or comprehend what the scriptures were saying and who this one would be. And the sad thing is that it's destined to happen again, and it's already happening again. The scripture teaches us that Antichrist will, if possible, fool the very elect of God's people. And I see that clearly is going to be the case. Again, because of ignorance concerning that which is written for our understanding. Of course, that's a whole other subject, and we'll look at that. But some of the names and titles of God there in the Old Testament that they should have known, because there he was called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty One, the Everlasting, the Prince of Peace, He Who Is, the Most High, the Almighty, the Lamb, Jehovah, which means self-existing. He was an angel of the Lord, the Creator, a prophet, a king, a shepherd, the Father. But you do not know who that person is until this baby Jesus, the Spirit of prophecy that we read there in Revelation, until the baby Jesus comes on the scene, who is the Spirit of prophecy, all of these things make little sense. But if you know them, you would have seen him. Scripture bears proof that the names represent in the New Testament that one called Jesus Christ. Adonte, the beginning from the end, Elohim. That's who it was. All of those things apply to one man. And it, an example of that, I am, for example, Peter. I am father, grandfather, husband, brother, cousin, uncle, etc. So all of these names in the Old Testament point to this one baby Jesus who is the spirit of prophecy. In these names and many others, we see the focal point of all Scripture. They lead to the leading man in God's script that shows his purpose and plan for the ages. The fact that these names and prophecies were given hundreds or thousands of years before their fulfillment are testimony to the validity and the accuracy of Scripture, thereby lending credence to God's Word and providing a stake where we can establish our faith and grow in the grace and the knowledge of Him. But they didn't know. And so what happened? When this guy came on the scene with all this controversy, he became what? A stumbling stone to them. They did not know who he was because they did not know the prophecies of the Old Testament. And so what did they do? They crucified their own Savior. So, remember, in the Old Testament is the New Testament contained. In the New Testament is the Old Testament explained. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love towards us. How grateful we are for our Savior Christ Jesus, that through him we may be able to understand the unsearchable riches of Christ, that we may be able to comprehend the manifold wisdom of God, that we can know him personally, that he can be a part of our lives, and that we can grow in the grace and the knowledge of him. I pray that each one of us during this season will celebrate this birth of the Spirit of prophecy. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.